Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Galatians chapter 3, we were taught that the power of the law is the penalty for breaking the law. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Remember, a curse is judgment without mercy. And so if we decide to try it on our own, our eternity's in the lake of fire. You need to understand this about law. A law without penalties is powerless. The only thing which makes a law something to be feared is the fact that it demands punishment. You drive through a school zone, the light is blinking, and you're told double fine if speeding through a school zone. And if the fine for the speed is normally $200, you end up paying $400. Now, what makes that cause us to want to obey the law is the punishment. Now, it is the law of God, a holy document that gives clear knowledge, clear teaching of our condemnable actions. And it shows that our condemnation is just. Hence, the law is a curse to us. Again, Jesus in his humanity had never violated God's law. He is the holy, eternal Son of God, who is the delight of the Father's heart from all eternity. He came into the world for the express purpose of redeeming them who are under the curse of the law. My friend, that is all mankind. But he had violated no law himself. He that is subject to the penalty can never redeem us. I couldn't die for your sin. No one else on the face of the earth could die for your sin. Only he who had no sin, he who was born without a human father. Oh, my friend, he magnified the law. Jesus Christ made it honorable by a life of devotion in his human form to the will of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that is our flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not sinful flesh, but looked like us. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My friend, Jesus paid it all, and he fulfilled it all. And therefore, we place ourselves in Christ. Most times when I sign a letter, I sign it in Christ. And that's the reason. My only acceptance before the Father, my only acceptance into heaven, is in Christ. All our righteousnesses, Isaiah 64:6 says, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. I need the righteousness of Christ. Even the Apostle Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ. And you'll notice that our passage did not say that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled by us. But Romans 8:4 says, in us. In us. It's very important that we get that distinction. We cannot of ourselves fulfill the law. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ, that we believe that we are accepted in him. That's why the verse preceding it said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because he was Lord. He was God Almighty come in the flesh. Lord is his name of his deity. Jesus is the name of his humanity. So if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so it's through that. His bloodshed paying the penalty for my sin as it was applied before the Father in heaven. His righteousness is imputed totally to my account and to your account. The righteousness of Christ. And when he sees the blood, he passes over. Because of his great sacrifice, I'm free from the law's curse. Being made a curse for us, Christ is treated as if he had committed sin worthy of death. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, it says this, and if a man have committed sin worthy of death, and be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree. Thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. They took the cursed person off the tree so the land would not be defiled. It was Jesus who was cursed, not the land, for our sin. My friend, if you're going to try to go to heaven by your good works, doing the best you can, being moral, being religious, but not being saved, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to be able to die and be buried and then raise yourself from the dead. Make your body eternal. Ascend into heaven, and then present your blood as perfect blood before the Father. If you can't do that, you need a Savior. That's why I say we all need a Savior. When this passage of Deuteronomy was recorded, do you realize crucifixion was not a form of execution? Yet, God knew exactly what death Christ must die, and how it must take place, fulfilling this passage in Deuteronomy that was written 1,500 years before the cross. I like this statement by the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. It is a long statement, but it is one of the best ones I've read on this passage. He said, Christ was made a curse for us. The question is, when did Christ become a curse? At his incarnation? No. When he was born, he was called that holy thing. Did he become a curse during those silent years of which we have so little record? No. It says that he advanced in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Did he become a curse during his ministry? Oh, no. It was during his ministry that the father said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Then he must have become a curse while he was on the cross. Well, yes, but not during the first 3 hours on the cross. Because when he offered up himself, he was without blemish. It is during those last 3 hours on the cross that he has made a curse for us. It is then it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. He made his soul an offering for sin. Therefore, Isaiah, we see, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The Greek word meant for the word tree, wood, timber, or tree. What a contrast we have here. Christ went to a cross, which to him was a tree of death, in order to make it a tree of life for you and me. Well, Dr. McGee was right with that quote, was he not? Someone has said, the Son of God became the Son of men, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Now that takes us then on to verse 14 here, and to close out this one section. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, these Judaizers are trying to get the Galatians, these Gentile Galatians, to turn back to Judaism instead of faith in Christ. That blessing spoken of in verse 14 had been promised in Genesis 12:3, and it included we Gentiles. So as a result, we too receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Again, Abraham was not under the law. The greater point is that in Christ, all, both Jew and Gentile, receive the spiritual promise made to Abraham by faith. The key is faith in God's work, not ours. The focus is on Christ, not us. And notice the word promise. In Greek, it was a legal term denoting a summons or promised undertaking to give or do something. In God's economy, when a covenant is signed between two men, which is signed, sealed, and recorded, it is binding on both parties, neither of whom has the right to make any changes in the agreement. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.